Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello, and welcome to the official Broad Wasted Podcast, where we're drunk on theater. I'm your host, Brian Plofsky, and oh, happy we. Welcome to today's extra special episode. With two guests today, we've got the best of all possible worlds. No, there aren't any twists like, you were dead, you know, nor will we be talking about the animated movie El Dorado. I mean, what's the use? So bon voyage as we set sail to Glitter and Be Gay Town. I don't know.
Glitter and Be Gay Town?
Yeah. I'm getting a kick out of how much they're getting a kick out of this.
So quiet while we make our garden grow on this extra dose of broad wasted for the week. Joining us today are the usual operetta loving fools.
Oh, I love it.
Including Kevin, I am easily assimilated Jager.
I'll take it.
Very good.
That's good.
Kimberly, our game master and unofficial babysitter for the hour.
Yeah, hi.
And with us today are two stars of Candide at New York Opera that opens today and runs till January 15th. Our first award-winning guest has sung all around the world, including the NCPA in Beijing, the Royal Opera House in London, and here in New York City at Lincoln Center and Carnegie Hall in operas such as The Magic Flute and Hansel and Gretel. Our second guest you may have seen on the Broadway stage in Hair, Catch Me If You Can, Hands on a Hard Body, and On the Town. Mm-hmm. He can currently be seen on ABC's Quantico. Let's give a big Broadway-sa welcome to friends of the show.
Friends of the show.
Candide and Cunegonda, Megan Pacino and Jay Armstrong Johnson.
What's up, y'all?
Friends of the show.
Friends of the show.
Yes, Megan is my roommate. But you can follow them on Instagram and Twitter at JAJohnson, that's JAY_A_Johnson, and at Megan Pacherno. Her first name is spelled with a GH. She only has 112 followers on Twitter.
I do not tweet.
But you're going to have a lot more now.
Oh, you better get on it.
Can't wait.
Hey,
we
guys.
We made you Twitter famous, by the way.
Yeah, right.
You're trending right this second. Yeah, this hasn't even aired yet. You're trending. Oh,
check mark or something?
Yeah. Do you have a check mark?
No, she doesn't.
No.
You have a check mark.
I'm not sure.
What's a check mark?
You would know if you
it's
had
like
one.
When you're
a
like
blue
official.
Check means you're like an official account.
How many people do you have?
Like, on Twitter? I have no idea. Because I don't tweet a lot.
You're more of an Instagrammer?
Yeah, I mean, there's more of a following on Instagram.
Yeah.
Just because it's like...
People have their preferences.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's pictures.
It's just like selfies, camera. Right?
It's immediate and gratification.
Like
and food.
Cool things people do with their phone.
Right.
Is that what Instagram... I'm not an Instagrammer.
Oh, I like Instagramming.
It's fun.
Me too. Mm-hmm.
Wait, guys, I have a joke for that I made up for the show.
Okay.
I'm shocked.
Okay. After that intro.
I mean, after the intro, I'm just waiting with bated breath.
It's not a pun. We all have to finish our drinks.
What was Voltaire's favorite TV show?
Wait. Give me a hint.
No.
Clearly, you've never heard a joke swear. Voltaire's favorite TV show was...
Candide Camera.
No!
Well, actually, it was this like kind of joke game show. Like you started hinting at the end of your joke.
I'm gonna need a lot more of this.
Yeah, I'm gonna have
so,
to.
Like, on that
chug
note,
yeah.
What are you drinking?
What are you drinking?
What are you drinking?
Oh, I am drinking some bubbly in true soprano form.
So I was in charge of getting the bubbly this week, and I bought two bottles of Prosecco because why not buy two? But they're the same bottle and everything, but one of them is like the classic like. Cage top, and then one of them was a twist off top. So we're doing the twist off one first, just to make sure that it
see
was
you
all
right. Later.
But, see, all right. But I did warn them that it was twist off top Prosecco.
Yeah.
Jay and I are drinking Sazerac Rye.
did they hear that?
I
that was
so.
Me opening the bottle. By the way,
can you do the boat sound?
The what?
The boat sound.
The boat sound.
Yeah. Oh. Great, he just blew into all of our rye.
I actually think I got some of my lip balm on the side of it.
So it's moisturized next time.
And Kimberly, you're also drinking the Prosecco?
Yes, out of a very classy mason jar.
Yes, we're drinking out of mason jars.
Hipsters.
Yeah, we're not in Brooklyn. No. We are live from Megan and I's apartment in Hamilton Heights?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're on the
Hamilton Heights.
We're on the cusp
of... not Harlem.
It's like North Harlem.
It is Harlem. It's Harlem.
Yeah. Oh, Harlem. I see what you're saying. People call it that to not say Harlem. Exactly. Yeah, but that's where we are.
I live only like seven blocks north.
Exactly.
I
live
on the same blocks even.
Yeah.
And I just live like a subway ride away.
Me too.
Oh, hey, welcome to
just
Harlem.
Upper West Side. upper
West Side.
Rocking Inwood, y'all.
Washington Heights.
So, Candide opens today. Congratulations.
Does it?
They will.
Wait, what?
On the day that everyone's here, you
know. Oh, I was like, news to me.
Yeah. Well, we better sober up real quick.
We better stop drinking.
You drunk two drinks in 5 days.
Oh, so God. This is being released the day that Candide opens.
Cool.
Okay.
So I guess I would love to hear a little bit about not only the rehearsal process, but... you know, both of you are kind of crossing over where you're going from an opera background to a musical theater, operetta type of show. And you have a musical theater background and you're kind of doing a little bit more operetta. I guess talk about that learning curve for both of you.
Totally. What was your like audition? When did you audition again?
I auditioned, I don't know, like in April or May.
Totally.
And then I knew in June.
And I didn't audition until like... when was that?
Oh my God, when was that? October.
Like October.
October.
So you were,
was that your audition?
That was my audition. That was the first and only time I actually sang.
Oh my God, I heard his audition then. And we read together. And we kissed.
And we kissed. We were like, hi, nice to meet you. Let's make out.
You know, and I remember asking you guys, I was like, so in a reading, because in the opera world, obviously, we don't do readings. Because we sing everything. And so I was like, so in a reading, do you actually do things? Or do you just, like, read it? And they're like, usually you just read it. And Jay and I were like...
just...
So, I knew he was the one.
Yeah. So you were Cunegonda for, like, months before they'd even...
but I couldn't say anything. I had to keep my mouth shut for the longest time. It was driving me nuts.
I actually got a Facebook message from one of Hal's assistants, asking me if I would be interested in the role of Candide, directed by Hal Prince at the New York City Opera.
So you said no, but that's like,
no, I don't think I can. But it was a literal Facebook message that I got, and I replied, absolutely yes, are you fucking kidding? Like, of course, I would love to do that. And then they're like, okay, well, tomorrow come have a meeting with Hal. Literally. Are you available tomorrow to come meet Hal at his, like, gorgeous office in Rockefeller Center? So I went and had a meeting with Hal, saw, like, the piano that Sondheim wrote Follies on in the corner, and, like, freaking out, you know, and I'm, like, trying to, like, not piss myself. And then Hal was like, oh, you look younger than I thought you would. This is great news. Come and sing for the office.
Because those pictures of you looking old.
Looking a little busted. So he was like, come sing for the opera tomorrow, and then hopefully you're my Candide. So it was literally a two-day process, and made out with this one, and, like, then I had, like, my dream role.
Yeah. I was also kind of a fluke, because I was singing in Spain, and I got back the same day. And to do this concert at a small gallery on the east side, and I wasn't going to do it. I was so tired and jet lagged, but I was just like, okay, fine. So in the cab, I'm like changing into my gown and like warming up, and I sang something from Lucia and then also Glitter and Bigay. And the pianist at the time was like, Megan, you know, for the last 3 weeks, they've been auditioning Cunegondas, and I heard they haven't found anyone. There's one extra day next week. Do you want to see if you can get in? And I was like, well, I had just like...
wait, I did not know that's how you got the audition.
That is how I did it.
Because, that's so cool.
Yeah, so what happened was then my coaches from the Met, and then also the pianist, Michael, like, they wrote the artistic director of New York City Opera, and they were like, you gotta hear this girl, you gotta hear this girl, and I didn't think anything of it. And then I found out later that week, they're like, can you come on their lunch break? And I was like, sure. So I sang Glitter and Bigay on their lunch break of their last open call because they had been auditioning for like almost a month. And so then I didn't think I was just a complete nutball, which Brian can tell you that's never, ever, ever happened. I just had a really good time. And then I got a call back, and that's when I met like the entire production staff.
So you got cast over like egg salad while they're just like... chilling,
basically, yes.
Wow.
And that was kind of, my audition was...
yours was the same.
They were auditioning dancers.
Yeah, they were auditioning dancers, and they asked me if I was in town, can I read with this possible Candide.
It was the first time I actually got a role in the room. Like, Michael from New York City Opera stood up, handed me his card, shook my hand, and said, have your representation contact us immediately. So I got to call my agents and be like, dear agents, I just got a job. And it's usually like the other way around.
You're welcome. Right?
Oh, they were thrilled. Of course they were thrilled.
You so. Rocked that audition, baby.
So as I open this,
yay! Yay! You now also have to make the boat noise.
Oh, it's going well. It's going really well. It needs to be emptied out a little bit.
So this one has Chateau de Essence of Brian twice, thrice.
The pitch will get lower the further down you go.
Oh, how exciting!
Oh, that's science.
That's physics.
That was actually one of my
physics.
I had a science.
Uh-oh.
Science for a science class. That was my project. Science fair? Is that what they call it? Science fair.
Yeah.
Science fair.
Like the three poster board ply thing.
Yeah. In college.
The trifold poster board.
Like the wine glasses on Miss Congeniality.
I was never a science kid, so I just like proved photosynthesis by putting some plants in the closet, and I was like, those ones didn't grow, but these ones over here totally did.
Kevin, did you hang out with your plants in there?
Do they come out of the closet?
All of my plants are out of the closet now.
So, rehearsal process.
Oh, yeah.
We went off on a tangent.
We did.
No, that's okay. So, now you're cast.
Yeah.
Yes.
What's it been like?
As far as we know.
Yeah.
We haven't gone up yet.
They haven't told us to leave.
So, you're in a musical theater-ish world.
Yes.
One of the only people in the show who really sings, like, true opera.
So for Keith Fares, right?
Exactly. Yes. There's two of us. There, me and my brother in the show, right. Maximilian. So we are opera singers.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the
flip side, your background, you know, is primarily in musical theater.
Totally.
I guess, can you talk about how you've been adapting and figuring that out and finding the balance with how?
Yeah. I mean, I studied classically in college. I was a vocal performance major in school, so I wasn't your stereotypical BFA musical theater guy. I was very vocal based. It was like all of my training in college, and then I had a dance background from high school. So that's kind of how like the theater thing happened. So I've gone back to my voice teacher a lot these past 2 months. I feel like I'm back in college almost. I train with him every single week. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been really like working on this stuff because I'm up against these crazy opera singers that are, you know, and I've been doing a lot of pop rock and, you know, musical theater stuff. So my voice hasn't sung this kind of material in a few years. So that's been the big changeover is really just getting back into the vocal studio and like brushing up the chords. But this rehearsal process is kind of luxurious. It's like even longer than some Broadway shows I've rehearsed. I mean, it's like almost a 5-week rehearsal process.
It's 6, isn't it?
6?
I swear it's 6.
It's crazy. I mean,
it's long.
I've done Broadway rehearsals where it's like 3 or 4 weeks and then we're up. So this feels very luxurious. Hal and his team have done this show for 40 years.
Literally, like, 40 years.
And so they have so many incarnations of Candide in their heads, how other people have played it, how, like, the current political atmosphere, what is it going to mean to, like, our audience in 2016 going into 2017, you know? So, like, that's been the fun, exciting, like, meaty part of what this Candide is going to be.
I'm coming from, obviously, I think I told you this before, the first rehearsal even, I felt like it was the Harry Potter movie where, like, all the different schools came together. It was like the dancers, the opera people, and like the Broadway people, and like, but one thing that I thought was really cool was that there is an admiration for each of the other ones, because they were like, oh my god, they can say words on paper. How do they do that? They're moving while they actually sing. How are they moving? Like, as an opera singer, you're like, wow, like that's amazing. And then like, then on the other side, they're like, you can sing high. Like, I mean, there's a big admiration and learning. I mean, like, well, I mean, watching you has been like amazing, like your process. And then also watching like seasoned professionals like Chip and Greg Brooks, Linda just.
So if you don't know, also in the show is Greg Edelman, Linda Lavin, Chip Zion, and many more, you know, Broadway veterans, true professionals to bring.
Brooks
Eschmanskas. Yes.
Yep. Oh.
Like Broadway's like friggin' comedic genius.
Oh my god. So
he's to bring the show to life.
Funny.
Yeah.
Is he Pangloss?
No, Greg Pangloss is Greg Edelman.
Yeah.
And Brooks is playing a bunch of the smaller character acts. Like, he and Chip Zine are like
play 80 different characters in the show. So in the opera world, we also usually have very short rehearsal periods. So this is also feels very luxurious. For me, what's really been interesting is the way that people approach character, because they're not necessarily coming from a vocal perspective first into it. They're coming from the bare bones of like, why is this person saying this? Which you would think would be the first, but like when you don't do the spoken dialogue as your art form, you do think of that and characterization, but you're also thinking about the vocal technique and everything. So it's fascinating to see everyone grow into their characters. Hal knows exactly what he wants.
Totally.
Which,
I mean, after 40 years,
he knows.
So do you find he's done it for, he's the number one fan, he's the person who loves it the most. Mm-hmm. Like, he's the one who keeps bringing it back. Are you finding that, one, what version are you doing? And two, do you find that he really is adapting to the people in it, or he just has his idea of which version he wants to do?
I think it's kind of 50-50.
I would agree. It's 50-50.
Because there are moments that he knows works. Like, he's done it for 40 years. Like, this is the way that you should probably say it, because this is actually how you get the laugh, or this is how you get the emotion. And then there are some things that he's kind of more chill about, that he allows us to, like, play with.
Yeah. I mean, he's the first to say that this is a... So it's the Opera House version. Because there are many versions of Candy.
Yeah.
So this is the Opera House, the New York City Opera.
Yes. In college.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No way.
Speaking of trifold poster board, because I went to a liberal arts school, we had to do presentations instead of essays so that we could get a liberal arts credit for being in the show. And I had a trifold poster board explanation of all of the different incarnations of Candide.
Oh, wow.
And I, like, printed out pictures of Voltaire and made everyone color them.
So you know.
And then,
you know this.
Yeah, so I did, like, a whole presentation on Sondheim and Hugh Wheeler's influence on the one that you're doing.
Right.
Yes.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
And they were talking about how...
And we had a master class with Maureen Brennan.
She
was Kunigunda in what, 70s?
In the 70s.
But like they said that they were talking about maybe doing a 90-minute version of it and like really splicing it up, and then they like canned that idea. But
they candied it.
But it's so funny.
Yay!
Hal and his team know this show so well.
Well, that's that. Yeah, they know like what they want to, because
though it is.
Definitely the Opera House version. Like, there are things about it that are just like what happened when it first came out in New York City Opera. Hal's the first one to say to us, like, this is a darker version of it. It's not... While it is... Yes, it is satire. But there is a flavor of...
I mean,
it's dark. I mean, like, I read the book before I started the role, because I was curious, like, what is the actual original, like, Voltaire... Like, what is it? And indeed, I mean, it is... absolutely relentless. Like, it just keeps going, and it's
and
kind
of part of the satire.
That is part of the satire. Right. I mean, but indeed it is a satire, but it's dark. Like, it reminded me of, like, The Lobster, kind of. Like, you were laughing at parts that I felt bad that I was laughing at in the book.
Agreed.
This particular book is
she's
not...
referring to the movie this past year called The Lobster.
Oh, my God.
We
don't have Lobster Wednesday. Why not, Brian?
You're right.
Get it
sorry.
Together, yeah. Please. No, but I mean, really, really dark. But also, I think completely, like Jay said, like with the political climate of what's going on, I think Candide has come in a very, very...
It's a little
apropos.
Like 2016.
Apropos.
Yeah.
Make our garden grow. I think I've cried every time that we've done it so far this week.
It's a beautiful song.
But it's so pertinent to like what is going on right now.
And what he's doing with it that he hasn't done the last 40 years on that song in
particular.
There's
something different that he's doing.
It feels so heavy. It feels very real. It feels, I don't know, I lose myself almost every time we run that number.
Yeah, and like Glitter and Be Gay is going to be done a little bit differently than, it's a little bit, not just... So I am in the opera world what they call a coloratura soprano, which means I'm a very high soprano that it can do a lot of vocal acrobatics. This is an aria, quite frankly, that has a lot of those flashy moments. But the thing is, you can choose to sing it many different ways. One, you can choose to sing it beautifully, because it is a beautiful, fun song. Mm-hmm. You can choose to sing it more just kind of speaky, but for me, I know I've kind of melded those worlds together because I think she is going back and forth. There's like this weird morph of like duality of like what's going on. And it is kind of a dark song and also a wonderful song. And actually, I think Candide in itself is that interesting hybrid of both. It is, yes, optimism, but it's also like all of this dark, all of these dark happenings are happening and it can get really, and also actually everything about it is a hybrid. I mean, the music itself, the orchestration itself, you'll hear like bits and pieces of, I mean, Bernstein.
The choreography.
The choreography. You know. I'm soft shoeing for the first time in my life. I'm so excited. Really? Yes.
Oh, that's a awesome.
Cane. Oh.
Can you see me practice with the umbrella in the living room?
No, I don't. I don't pay attention.
He doesn't question what you do anymore.
No, but even like, I think the
was
show...
Was it raining?
Oh, that's what I thought. It was
your tribute.
No, but I mean, like, I think it's cool. Like, even the fact that there are these people from the opera world, people from the music theater world, that is what I think Bernstein wanted. Like, we are this weird conglomerate of people that usually would never work together.
Totally.
That get to.
So you guys... So going back, Barbara Cook played the role. Madeline Kahn did a reading of the role. Kristen Chenoweth played the role.
Amazing.
What for your character specifically? How are you approaching it, knowing that so like that's the role where like those names are in that show?
Yeah.
How are you going forward, kind of with that knowledge?
Well, I think they've. It's one of those, like, iconic roles, at least in the opera world. Like, everybody knows Glitter and Begay.
France.
But we are not in France.
We are.
Can I do it?
Oh.
What a twist.
Constantinople? That's my favorite thing.
Yeah, we are in Constantinople.
Do you sing the song Istanbul or Constantinople?
That's yes.
Oh, you added it. Yeah. You added it. Oh, yeah.
No.
Don't want to
oversell the show.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. You might not have been that rude.
Yeah, that's right, because it just skips all the time. Yeah. No, of course, I've seen all of their performances. Like, you know, I'm curious, and I think all of them bring something very special to the role and the song itself. I mean, it's amazing what each of these fantastic artists have done. And then I take that into account and I throw it away. Because the thing is, I have to then be true to me. I can't sing it like Barbara Cook. I can't sing it like Kristen Chenoweth. I'm going to sing it like Megan Paterno because that's all I can do. Because otherwise I'm putting on something that's not my skin. So I've taken it into account. I admire like what they've done. Because it is a tour de force, man. And then just kind of make it true to what... It is for me.
Well, and to toot your horn for you, because I know you won't do it yourself. I mean, when I went into this process knowing I'd be working with opera singers, I mean, in the musical theater world, stereotypically, we think that these opera singers are all vocally based and they don't know how to act their way out of a paper bag. And, you know, that was absolutely
and
what
Megan
I was...
And Megan is no exception.
but seriously, I mean, even in our audition, when we read together, I was like, okay. This girl knows how to say words on a page. This girl knows how to, like, give an emotion, have an action, you know.
It's a good thing she had someone helping her with her audition.
Oh, is that you, sir? But, you know, but, like...
Kevin, thank you.
I've played the role so many times in my apartment. I haven't glittered yet, but I'm gay, so I thought...
She's so physical in the role. I mean, like, I'm lifting her multiple times in the show, and her, I mean, like...
He's like, lay off the donut.
No, and it's so easy, and I've lifted certain dancers that aren't as easy to lift as you
thank
are.
You.
But, I mean, you have an awareness of text, an awareness of your body, and clearly of your voice that, like, not many opera singers, I think, maybe have that, so... I'm very impressed by you, Bish.
Thank you. I love you.
I love you.
Yeah, they're rehearsing. So you guys are in Candide, but do you have any crazy stories from being on stage and like something crazy happened in the audience or a survival job that you may have had that was insane or Megan, like a competition you may have been at or something to that effect?
It was my Broadway debut. I was doing Hair in 2009, I believe.
I was
understudying Gavin Creel, my love. And we were in previews, and I was a swing in Hair. So I understudied Claude and Woof, and then I swung the tribe. So I knew seven 7 ensemble tracks and 2 principal tracks.
Oh my god.
And that show, that must be...
That's why you're naked in all of them.
Right, it's organized chaos.
But yeah, that must have been...
It was crazy.
So difficult.
It was crazy. And Gavin got sick 3 weeks into previews. And in a Broadway rehearsal process, the swings and the understudies are sitting and watching the entire rehearsal process. And their own rehearsal process does not begin until after the show opens. So when you're in previews, all you have is what you've been watching. And you have not actually physicalized it.
Oh my God.
You've not had a vocal rehearsal. You've not had an acting rehearsal. You've not had a blocking rehearsal.
Oh, no.
So I got like a warning the night before... by my stage manager that, like, Gavin's not feeling well, just be on alert. And it was a Friday night going into a Saturday, and I was like, okay, cool, Gavin will be fine, I'll be fine. And I was going out with my friends Jason Michael Snow and Alex Brightman for drinks at Dave and Buster's and to play video games that night.
Yes.
So
As one does. So I was out drinking and cavorting about the Times Square until like 3 in the morning.
Oh
and I got a call at like 9, 10 a.m. from my stage manager saying, Gavin's out for the matinee, you're making your Broadway debut as Claude and Hair. So, like, hungover Jay, like, gets in a cab, like, gets to the theater. I go over my blocking for maybe an hour with the stage manager on stage, and then I was leading a Broadway show an hour after that.
Oh.
And I tell you, I do not remember anything.
Not even the bow or anything?
I do not remember anything. I know that, like, my boyfriend showed up and a few of my friends showed up. And all I remember is being on stage and people shoving me around. Like, shove with love is what we called it. Because, like, it's organized chaos. It's not like, dance numbers where you need to be, like, on your number and hitting a certain mark. So that was good. But and then I went on again for the night show, and it was terrible. Because I had gotten 3 pages of notes from Diane Paulus, like, between shows, and I was in my head. But that was my actual Broadway debut. I was 21 years old, and I don't remember a lick of it.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Jay, that's amazing.
It's crazy.
Can you one-up him?
Can you one-up me?
I know, I cannot. But I can tell you a story from the opera perspective.
The Oprah world.
The Oprah world. No, so I...
Weekend. What's a weekend?
I had made the finals for 2 competitions on the same night. One was at Carnegie Hall, and the other one was at Lincoln Center. And both of them...
Little places, not sure.
And,
so I was late for tea time.
I was late for tea time with my pinky up. And anyway, so,
couldn't wear the same dress.
Of course not. Had to change in the car. No, and, a couple weeks before, I knew I was in the finals of both, and both had very much clearly stated that if you are not there to sing, you will be disqualified. And I told both of them, I was like, I'm very randomly in the finals of 2 competitions on the same night. And they're like, we make no exceptions. And I was like, okay. And so I spoke to a dear friend and colleague. I was talking to her and I was like, I have this crazy gut feeling. I have a crazy plan in true Megan form. And I was like, I want to rent a car service and just shuttle myself back and forth. And she's like, it's nuts, but do it. And I was like, I'm going to do it. And I did. And it was raining that night, and I started off at Carnegie.
Of course it was.
Because, you know, what's the story without rain?
Prom nights, am I right?
So I started off at Carnegie, sang my first piece, and then I got into the car, the limo that was waiting right outside the
limo.
Station. A limo, of course. I know. And then, I know. Because why not, right? Because if you're going to do
10 minutes of 27 dresses.
So you Catherine Heigl'd it.
And then I went to Lincoln Center, and I sang my first piece, and the girl right before me was on the stage. I literally, like, ran out of the car, like, was like...
The okay. limo. Not the stuff in the car.
Oh, yeah, the limo. And then sang my first piece, went back to Carnegie, sang my second piece, went back to Lincoln Center, sang my... And, like, I kept going in, like, literally right on time. I had, like, someone watching over me. Like, where I literally was
Opera
like,
Jesus.
Yeah, Opera Jesus was with me.
Opera
Moses.
No, I think it's Opera Oprah.
Little Opera Oprah.
Very
everyone
good.
Gets, we can all agree everyone on that. Gets a car. So anyway, so...
A limo.
Everyone gets a limo. So anyway, so then, like, on my way back to Carnegie, so I won at Carnegie. And then, like, I had to, like, take pictures and everything, and then I was like,
I don't have time for pictures.
But the thing is,
That's kind of what happened because...
Did you change in between?
No, no. I wore the same gown. Uh-huh. But, like, so I won at Carnegie, like, had pictures taken, and I was, like, literally fretting because I was, like, in order to accept my prize, I have to get back to Lincoln Center if I win. So, actually, I kind of cheated a little bit in the sense of I was right outside the door when I got text messages from all my friends. They were like, you won! You won! So I won at Carnegie, I got my pictures taken and everything, and then I came to Lincoln Center and I won that competition too.
You stupid. No!
So that was like, that's one for the books, for sure.
That's wow. So good.
Yeah. I mean,
that's a pretty big book.
That's a
so,
great
book. Yeah, but I didn't go on Naked for Harry, though.
Claude doesn't get naked.
He sure doesn't.
No.
Oh. Very disappointing.
Very disappointing.
Disappointing.
What's the craziest survival job you've had?
One of two. I'm not sure which. One of them was ringing up groceries. I was a cashier at a grocery store in my hometown. But it was like a bougie grocery store. It was like Central Market. It was like, very nice. You know, it was a good,
okay,
a good one.
An aisle of like nuts that you could like scoop yourself.
Oh, totally. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, so yeah. Like,
I know those things.
That's what bougie means. No, but that's
not even bougie grocery store.
Yeah. You scoop your own nuts.
They have that at Supercooper Town down the street.
And then the other one was in college, I worked at J. Crew on Fifth Avenue, like folding cashmere sweaters.
So good.
Oh, nice.
So bougie.
Actually,
bougie,
funny. Okay. Well, that wasn't a survival job, but one of my jobs was I also was in the grocery store, but I was in the deli department and I was a member of the Meat Cutters Union.
No.
Wow. I sliced the meat. What? I lasted literally 2 weeks and I was like, this is no.
Wait. There's a union for meat cutters?
Yes!
I want a t-shirt that says the Meat Cutters Union, like, right now. Today.
They've got to have it on Etsy somewhere.
Actually, I'm mad at my family that no one thought of that and got it for me for Christmas. Meat Cutters Union, people.
Oh, my God. That's genius.
The girl that won two different competitions in one night
was a member of the Meat Cutters Union.
Oh, I think that calls for a game.
Yeah, we can't talk anymore. We have to play a game now. That was incredible.
Wasted.
Not Brad Tipsy.
Can you pass the
sounds are right?
The sounds are clean.
It's really good.
Yeah, right?
A round of dirty hands on a hard body.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Which is a game that we play.
Hands on a hard body was a Broadway musical that I was in.
I'm not
and dirty hands. Really, is an improv game, so I've combined.
Oh, fantastic!
Wait, you don't know what this game is? Thanks for listening, roommate.
This is the best game ever. The best of all possible games.
No, that's later. Oh. The best of all possible games. It's on my sheet.
Oh.
Oh, because of the Candide.
Yes.
Because of the Candide.
The Candide.
So, for those of you who don't know the rules, dirty hands on a hard body.
I mean, I know it because I was saying
everyone
all the time.
Currently has two clean hands, and they'll place them on the table. And then I will just point to someone, and then you'll go around the table, rapid fire, naming things in that category.
Oh, this is like the card
for
game.
For instance, yeah. If I said colors, you would say...
Blue.
Red.
And so that, wait, no, perfect example. So, for instance, Megan couldn't think of a color, so she puts up one hand.
I know what was better, you, like, stalling the colors, or Jay looking at you like, really, bitch, colors? He was literally about to smack you and say
I was about
colors.
To punch you in your face. I was really about to punch you in your face.
So Megan puts up one hand. That is her dirty hand.
Oh.
And then we keep going. As soon as you have two dirty hands, you are off the hard body, so you are out of the game.
Oh,
we
no.
go until there's one winner.
You don't win that pickup truck or this lovely table. Mahogany.
The prize is the table.
Oh,
so Megan better win because she lifts your already.
All right.
Ready?
Yep.
The first category is musicals.
Titanic.
Candide.
Fiddler on the Roof.
Hairspray.
Young Frankenstein.
We keep going?
West Side Story.
Oh. She Loves Me.
Hair.
Bright Star.
Sound of Music.
Falsettos.
Hands on a Hard Body.
On the Town.
This is not going to be fair, guys. I'm going to run Wicked.
She Loves Me.
I said
no,
it!
No, I said it!
Oh. No!
No,
sorry, I'm sorry.
Ready? Next category. Operas.
Oh.
Sorry. like actual
hand
operas?
On the table.
Yes,
okay. Hand off the table.
What are fake operas?
Like Porgy and Bess.
He's stalling because he doesn't
opera.
Know.
Well, that can't. Okay, I'll go Porgy and Bess.
Opera.
Carmen.
Aida.
Figarello.
So you combine Figaro with Fiorello?
No! I'm the only person in this room who has seen or been in Hands on a Hot Plate.
OBC, Hands on a Hard Body, out first round.
Damn it. I never won the damn drug anyway.
Spoiler alert!
What does that mean?
If you see original production.
Right. You can go to Lincoln Center, but you can't because we didn't film it. Actually, they didn't.
Really?
Oh, really?
Yeah, we ran for like 2 months, y'all.
That's disappointing.
I
know.
I would have liked to have seen it, like at least go over to the library. Oh, well.
Sorry.
Just perform for us now.
All right,
come on,
cool. We're gone.
I wouldn't know if I heard it.
I know
so
you would have.
Okay, ready?
That would be it.
Next.
Oh, wait, our hands are still...
Yeah, still on.
You still all have two. Jay's out.
I'm ready.
This sucks.
Musical, Jay.
Musicals based on books.
Oh, God, what does that mean? Oh, Candide.
West Side Story.
Hamilton.
Wicked?
Yeah!
Oh!
She Loves Me.
Oliver.
Fiddler on the Roof.
Yeah!
Yeah, I'm gonna put my hand up.
Okay, new category. Voice types.
Tenor.
Soprano.
Alto.
Metro.
$117 a month.
Oh, I see. I went to the guy. I was like, Metro. Hey, honey. Okay.
Sexual.
Okay. Megan may win. Good thing, because this table's in her apartment already.
That's right, baby.
Great. Styles of music.
Like, what do you mean?
Like jazz.
Opera. Oh,
okay.
Pop.
Okay. Well, good. I've got three now.
Hip hop.
Jazz.
Funk.
Opera.
Recitative.
EDM.
That is not a style. That's a try.
That's the kind of song.
Shoot me.
Oh, he just wanted to have a drink.
Yeah, I needed my
new
hands back.
Category.
Okay, let's do this.
Composers.
Bach.
Mozart.
Beethoven.
Grieg.
Done.
No, Handel.
Lift.
We also could have called those handles on a hot body.
Oh,
oh no.
Handles. No. Handles on a hot body, y'all. Huh?
Did you just win?
Did I
just
win?
You won the table.
It's because you thought of classical things. Thank you.
We get to keep our table.
Oh, we were betting our table?
Yeah.
Oh, like Kevin didn't have to crate this table up to
it. I know. Like, yeah, they didn't want it on my back.
I am very warm right now.
Yeah, me
too.
Well, am I pink?
A little.
Oh.
Okay. I also have a quick pop quiz.
Ooh, pop quiz, I love it.
Oh, my hands don't have to be on the table anymore. I'm like, I'm ready. Here we go. Okay.
This is just a chime in because
okay,
I didn't have time to make a big long
okay,
quiz.
Okay, let's do it.
So just chime in if you know the answer. There's only a few questions.
Mm.
Keep your own score because I've been drinking.
I've been drinking.
These are opera themed too.
Oh.
Ish.
I'm feeling pressure.
Opera singer Ezio Pinza? Ezio Pinza?
South Pacific.
Yeah.
Did I really answer?
Enchanted Evening.
He crossed over to Broadway in 1948, South Pacific.
Great.
To compensate for singing 8 shows a week instead of a normal opera schedule, which is what, 3?
Oh, forget it. You get 48 hours in between.
One.
Yeah.
2, 3.
Yeah. So to compensate for singing 8 shows a week, he requested that he sing only how many minutes during each show?
Oh, gosh. I don't know.
45.
I was just going to say 45.
I'm going to go with
20?
30.
I'm going to go with 25.
40.
30. Should we do Price 60. Is Right?
Yeah.
The answer is 15 minutes.
What?
So we all lost.
Oh,
I was thinking about like
on.
His songs he sings. I'm like, he only has like 2 or 3
yeah,
songs.
And yeah. He thinks like Some Enchanted Evening. If you think about like Some Enchanted Evening, Stop, Breathe, Breathe. You have like the seconds there. Like, you made
that's
me a danger.
That's such a cool fact.
That's a very cool fact.
Yeah. He like did the math. And he was like, over the course of a week, I would normally sing this much music. So
no
to do
way.
8 shows, I will only sing 15
That's
minutes.
Kind
it was
of amazing.
In his contract. It was
wow.
a clause.
Cool. God, was that Mary Martin that played?
Yeah.
Wow.
And she sang the all.
Yeah,
she made up
forever.
Yeah, she sang the rest of it.
So like, that I got the rest
she put
of
on boy
show.
Clothes, girl clothes.
So is that why Nelly's part in that show is so expansive and his is so small?
I mean, it is Nelly's
story. Or why they
story.
Also have to build it almost yeah. like a second romantic lead to take on some of the pieces.
Oh, yes, Cable?
Yeah. So then you get, like,
and you get
Younger Than Springtime and Character right.
I wonder what the edits were from the time they finished it, casting it, and, like,
I think he was cast before they really started writing that part.
Interesting.
Because they wanted an opera singer.
Cool.
That was the thing back then.
Wow.
Did that.
That's a very that's cool a, fact.
Yeah, that's really cool, actually. That's, like, my favorite fact. I don't know what class I learned that in college, but...
It's a good one.
Yes,
it's a good one.
I liked homework.
By the way, I'm really, tell by my I just quiz. Noticed all your glitter that's going on right now, and I'm very much enjoying it.
Oh, my nails and the holiday shirt. Nails.
That's yes, nice.
How do you feel about singing so many shows per week? That's not your usual. Are you like are you up to it? That's
do you
point.
Only sing for 15 minutes?
literally. Yeah.
I know.
Today, Greg Edelman was like, "How do you like your 15-minute break like, yeah, during exactly. your song today?"
And we're so
I'll let you know. I mean, like, I actually just met with Harolyn Blackwell, who she did the Broadway revival.
Mm-hmm. She's the one that does the crazy "If I Could Fly That BC," like the crazy up. Oh, it's so good.
And well,
it was on the concert for her sometimes like 70s.
Yeah, oh yeah, she's a true like crossover. Like oh, she sang at the Met, and then she's also done Broadway. I met with Harolyn because I asked her. I was like, I have to tell you. I mean, like in the opera world, you get 48 hours, and I was like, how do you? And also, Glitter and Begay is really like a big. It's a marathon. It's like, how do you say, I mean, like, we're going to have five show. I mean, we're on a Broadway schedule, basically. Like,
that's
how I feel. And she was like, well, I'll give you a piece of advice that Julie Andrews gave me. And she was like, you will do nothing. And I was like, what do you mean? And she's like, you're going to become a hermit if you aren't one already. She's like, you don't talk. You make sure you have, like, humidifiers going. You rest. Like, you do the show, and the show is your life. And everything else aside from that is that's it.
I have an extra humidifier in my room for you if you want it.
Oh, this is perfect. Is it the penguin?
It's the penguin.
Oh, the penguin's in my house.
I have one.
You have a penguin, too?
Jay had one, and I have one.
Oh. Jay has not plugged in the penguin, so if you want it back.
They're not talking about me, Jay. They're talking about, like, their roommate slash fiancé, Jay.
Enemy of the show.
So basically, I have to be very, very careful. So I'll be marking a lot next week during our crazy time.
So you won't be talking in the house at all?
Nope.
This is great news!
But I will text like a fiend. Damn it. True.
The past couple of days, she's been on vocal rest, like when she's like not performing. So I get a text like 20 minutes later, be like, hey, when you get this, how's your day? And we watch a couple movies in silence. And every time that she like doesn't like the part of the movie, she'll text me like, what is this movie? But I'll be sitting on the couch and then I'll turn around and she's like staring at me.
You need like a big like whiteboard to just like write questions to Ryan. Tiny pop quiz. Opera singer Christine Johnson rose to Broadway fame by singing You'll Never Walk Alone in Carousel in the original Broadway cast. Her character, Nettie Fowler, sings what other famous song in
Julie's
that show?
She's busted out all over.
Really?
Yes.
I have no idea. I'm obsessed with that.
The Leslie Uggams?
The Leslie Uggams version.
But the jewels and the shimmer. And the people and the things and then the
pa-pa-da-da. Wait, is that the one where she like modulates in different keys and it's outside and she doesn't know the words?
Yes. Yeah.
Ah, I love that one.
Great video.
It's good.
I love how the first thing that Megan notices is the modulation.
Right.
I was like, Joe.
I don't remember whatever modulation you're talking about. I remember Joe.
Twitter, the first day of June, if you are a member of Broadway Twitter, is just gifs of Leslie Uggams saying Joan.
It's
Joan, everyone. It's Joan.
Joan really is.
Okay.
That's what I'm changing my major to.
Ready, pop quiz.
Yep.
Who sang the role of Mother Abbess in Sound of Music Live? A role traditionally given to an opera singer.
Yeah, Audra.
Audra.
First, I went to Carolee Carmello in my head because I saw her on Broadway do it, and she was stunning.
Yeah. Ready? Last question of pop quiz. Who helped... Oh, I gave this away earlier. Who helped rewrite Candide with Sondheim?
Hugh Wheeler.
And what other show did they work on together?
Follies?
Hint?
Sweeney?
Sweeney Todd.
You
sang
in
that. Anthony, right?
I was in that.
At
that's
Lincoln
why I was
Center.
Yeah.
That was most of my trifold poster board, was talking about how Sweeney Todd made them friends.
Let me see. Before we
play our last game, is there anything else you want to say about Candide?
I think I'm just kind of pinching myself the whole process.
Same.
These people that I'm working with, I mean, Chip freaking Zine. I mean, he was the baker in Into the Woods. It's a cast album that I ate alive as a young 12, 13-year-old. I mean, I played the baker in my friend Jessica's directorial, like, showcase. She, like, took this directing class at our, like, theater school and, like, cast me as the baker. And so I listened to Chip Zine's voice on a regular basis. I studied him. I truly, he's one of my idols. And to have him come on a 15-minute break and, like, give me a little punch on the shoulder and tell me how well I'm doing.
It's true.
And, you know, like, it's like weird, like, moments that you never thought as a child that you would have, like the pinch me kind of moments. I mean, I talked to my mom on the phone for like 2 hours yesterday after we were released from rehearsal, and she was talking about how Linda Lavin is one of her idols, like, watched her television show in the 70s. Like, you know, like these like legends, these like heroes of mine and my mother's, like, I'm sharing a stage with them. And then, like, cultivating relationships with, like, Megan, you know? Like, and we, like, we realize we're so much alike. We both have infinity tattoos.
And we're just, like...
We're, like, the same person.
We're basically the same.
But, you know, like, Pat Birch, she's our choreographer, and she choreographed the Grease movie. Like, she came up with the freaking hand jive, you know? It's like, Hal Prince is literally Hal freaking Prince.
So what you're saying is that your chill level is multiplied.
Oh, my God. It's just an embarrassment of riches. This is really what it is. The whole process of been like, be chill, be chill, be chill, be chill, you know, because really I'm coming out of my skin the whole time.
No, I agree with that, actually. Like, what I really love is, actually, Patty said something. She was like, you know, what's really rare about our cast is they're very warm. So we immediately all became very close and very friendly, and it's very generous. Hmm. I mean, I might not know, like, the gravitas of some of these actors from my past, but now that I know who they are, I really respect them. And there's like, Chip on a break, like, we'll just be talking and I'll be like, so when you do this, like, how do you, and like, they're just so normal. Like,
it feels right.
Yeah. It feels right. You know?
Well, Broadway said we'll be there and we hope you're there too. They're running from today, January 6th through January 15th.
10 performances.
10 performances. Get your tickets at nycopera.com. It's supposed to be a fantastic show. We're going to have our review of it on next week's episode. So we're excited to see it.
I know where you live.
Well, we have another game.
The best of all possible game. I have four tasks. So, Megan, please describe a favorite opera of yours and then randomly choose one of these boys over here.
Okay.
To do a task.
I have to tell them what to do.
So choose one of these three men.
Why do we do this game last?
For this precise reason.
And then describe an opera to them.
My counterpart, Jay.
What?
Wait.
Describe to him an opera that you like.
Oh, Lucia. Lucia de Lammermoor.
She's
supposed
to, Do I tell you about it?
Yeah. Describe it a little bit, unless you know it very well.
Got it. Oh, you don't know this one?
No.
You do. Have you ever seen Fifth Element?
Yes.
Okay, you know the blue alien?
Yes.
That's what she sings from. That's the mad scene when Lucia loses her mind after she's killed her husband that she didn't want to be with.
I want to hear you sing that one day, by the way.
I will.
Great.
Do it now!
No.
That's what the game is.
No.
Is that enough? Do I have to go more? No, I didn't.
Is that
really
enough?
Explain it.
Someone killing someone?
Is there a blue alien in the opera?
There's not a blue alien in the opera. No, what happens? So she is in love with this guy, but her family doesn't like that guy. So her family betrothals her to someone else. Her brother specifically is like, you have to marry that guy. And so they have their wedding night, but she, unbeknownst to her brother, got married to her love in Scottish style, like on the hill. And so,
in the heather.
Yeah.
And then, like, at the wedding to the other guy that she doesn't want to be married to, her lover comes back, sees her, curses her, she loses her mind, has her wedding night, ends up killing her new husband, but doesn't really understand what just happened.
So, Jay, you get to pick four Lights of Broadway show cards.
Okay.
And then describe how you would translate that into a musical, like a modern musical, using the four cards that you draw.
Okay.
Oh, I didn't do well describing
four cards.
It. Yes.
And I'm going
from
to...
From anywhere in the deck.
And what am I going to do after that?
You get to describe how you would create Lucia into a modern musical using the four cards you've just drawn from the Lights of Broadway deck.
All right, I got Michael Bennett.
Not a real card.
We literally only have one. Just everyone gets them.
Anne Harada, gross. Jerry Orbach, and Stephen Pasqua. I love him. Okay, so clearly Anne Harada is going to definitely play Lucia in this directed and choreographed production by Michael Bennett. Everyone will be about 5'10" because Anne Harada is small, and so is Michael Bennett, and he usually choreographs for very tiny people, which is if you're a tall person in a
actually,
chorus
actually, that's
line.
Very Lucia it's of not, you, because oh, really? Lucia is usually a coloratura soprano, so she can be tend to be small, and everyone else is huge.
What a twist.
Yeah, what
so
a then,
twist. So Jerry Orbach and Stephen Pasquale will be Anne Harada's lovers flanking her on either side. Anne Harada wants to be with Stephen Pasquale, because who doesn't want to be with Stephen Pasquale?
I really know how to use that mic.
And Jerry Orbach will be the lover that her family makes her be betrothed to because he's Jerry Orbach and he's a, you know, he's a legend, right?
Yeah.
So, and there is my version of Lucia via the card.
That actually sounds fantastic.
I think it's great.
It's good. It's good.
Yes. Okay, so now, Jay, you get to pick one of these two fellows over here and describe a musical that you very much love.
Okay.
And then they will have to do the same thing, but describe how to make it an opera.
This is a good game.
Thank you. It's the best of all possible game.
It's the best of all possible
all
worlds
right, Kevin.
Coming together.
Yes, sir.
My favorite musical of all time is West Side Story.
Me too. Okay.
Do you know about West Side Story?
I do, but I'd love to hear your interpretation.
Well, you know, it's based on Romeo and Juliet, but it's taking you to 1940s, 50s, New York City, where you've got the Puerto Ricans versus the white people, the Polish-ish, whatever, you understand, everyone understands.
West Side Story as an opera.
Yes.
All right.
Which has technically been done by opera singers.
It's Romeo and Juliet.
Well, it's Bernstein, so it's very opera. It's perfect, actually. So, I went to FSU for voice performance, thought I wanted to be an opera singer. So in my experience, opera singers tend to be a little bit older, playing a little bit younger parts. So I'm casting the lovely Rebecca.
I don't know what you're talking
about. So I'm casting the lovely Rebecca Luker as Maria.
Oh, she'd be glorious.
And I'm giving Anita to Anna Villafagne.
Oh.
And then I have...
She's on her feet.
I have Josh Segarra to play Tony. Alan Cumming to play
Officer Krupke.
Gladstone.
Officer Krupke, of course. Officer Krupke, of course. And I would just, I mean, you don't really have to change much of the music. I would just maybe make Anita's stuff a little bit more mezzo-y. But, like, just keep raising it up. Like, I'm more like that!
And probably no dancing.
Yeah, maybe not a little, like, there would be like a dancing
there
chorus.
There would be walking.
But there, yeah, she probably wouldn't dance a whole lot.
She would walk stage left.
Like one of your own kind, step to the right. Stick to your own kind, step to the left. And then she just enjoy every moment.
Are you cutting 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3? 1, 2, 3.
Oh, you can't.
No, the music would still play, but
Hemiola.
They would just be marching. They're just, because opera,
Hemiola?
Sometimes they march. Marching is a movement I've seen.
I want to see his Lucia. I don't want to see your West Side Story.
I know, it's hard to take this. I don't want to play anymore.
Best of all possible games.
I get a fourth task.
You get to cast a modern Broadway retelling of Candide. Please draw four cards from the deck.
We have an incredible cast of characters.
Just all dudes.
We may need to help.
So, Candide. Candide is going to be played by Benjamin Walker.
Hell yeah.
But he will not be wearing any clothes the whole time. Voltaire will be played by Zero Mostel.
Yep.
And then we have Michael Park, the fantastic Michael Park, playing... Oh, no. Michael Park is playing the Grand Inquisitor, and Roger Bart is playing the Jew.
Yep! There he is.
In a hilarious, fun, exciting, musicalized version of Candide, but it's called Candide, a new musical.
Cam, don't.
Yeah. I would also
who
see...
Who wrote it? I'm going to pull... Let's see who...
Pull a card.
And the person who wrote it is... The Kids of Finding Neverland.
I haven't seen that show.
So we are down to the end of our episode.
And we're sober.
Completely.
So I just want to thank Megan and Jay. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, guys. A dream. I'm only 7 blocks from home. Ta-da! This is fantastic.
So don't forget, please go see this fantastic, what is to be a fantastic, we'll tell you next week, a fantastic production of Candide. Don't forget to check out the ticket buying process. At nycopera.com.
It's quite a process. You got to put in your credit card information. Really.
On that note, we end every episode with a quote. And this quote is, I'm the most happy fella in the whole Napa Valley.
Yeah.
Do you know that show?
No.
You must
Oh,
play
yeah. You should definitely do that.
Oh, you have.
Oh, you'd be great.
Oh, yeah.
But it is.
The most happy fella.
No.
You'd be
and I'll play Joey.
Let's do it.
Joey.
This one's gonna be all the My Feet song.
Yeah. Totally.
We'll do it.
But as we end every episode, we raise a glass.
To freedom.
To we raise a glass to the 4 or 5 of us. But cheers. Thanks, everybody. Oh. Thanks for joining us on this extra episode. We'll see you next week, or you'll hear us. Bye. 5 stars, please.
Bye. Oh, yeah, give us a review.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.